Hey there, this is Joey Vera from Armored Saint, and you are listening to Focus on Metal.
All right, metalheads, welcome to yet another edition of Focus on Metal. And since we have a premier guest this week, Richie decided to wander down the studio.
Yeah, I'm here. nearly didn't make it with traffic, but I'm here.
See, he does premier guests only. So
that's bullshit.
So anyways, got a great show for you this week. Richie managed to wrangle a nice interview with Joey Vera. Of course, Armored Saint just put out their brand new one, Win Hands Down. And of course, I talked about that last week. Hopefully I've convinced a lot of you to go out and get it. If not, those of you who haven't, maybe after listening to Joey this week, you will. And also on the show this week, we have a returning guest, Fang von Rothenstein from Lords of the Trident.
Say that with a few beers in you.
So we have a good show planned for you this week. And so I hope you stick around for the whole thing. So how's it going, man?
It's going great.
Yeah.
The new Armored Saint album's fantastic.
That's awesome.
Yeah, 9 songs, quality, top to bottom. Just great band.
I would just be happier if I actually had the CD and I wasn't playing it off a playlist on my iPod right now.
Yeah, I know. When I was lucky enough to see Saxon with Armored Saint a few weeks ago, and I walked into the venue and I couldn't see John Bush. And next thing I look up and he's on top of one of the amps.
Yeah.
About 12 feet in the air singing. And they were doing Left Hook from Right Field. And place was going apeshit.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I didn't make the beginning of the set, but like they were incredible. The Rain of Fire, I think, was the final track. They were just like I heard three or four tracks.
Yeah.
And they still sound great. And John Bush still sounds like he's an incredible singer.
Oh, absolutely. Well,
he always has been. I've only seen him with Anthrax. I've never seen Armored Saint. And just straight up metal band, like just really into it. You know, you could tell they were really into it. The venue is a bit of a shithole, but then again, you know, you're there to see the band.
Yeah.
But just a great concert, you know.
Oh,
just a great gig.
Good.
So, you know, we haven't had a bit of discussion for a while.
Couple weeks.
Well, I haven't been here.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I haven't had a premier guest.
So, yeah. Yes, it's you know, you think, right, what am I going to talk about? And there's something I saw the other day on the old, you know, the old Bible called Blabbermouth that made me sit up and take notice. So when you hear this, right, original Leatherwolf drummer Dean Roberts and vocalist Michael Olivieri have slammed the band's former members, Kerry Howe, Jeff Gaher and Wade Black, for announcing that they were working on a new Leatherwolf studio album for a late fall release. So the band have basically split into two.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, Wade Black sung on an album called World Asylum. And then they got Michael back in the band and they re-recorded the whole record.
Okay.
And called it New World Asylum, which is a good record, right? Uh-huh. And we've had this discussion about Queensryche and we've had this discussion about LA Guns, and we've had this discussion about various other bands who have split. Jack Russell, you know, there's Jack Russell's Great White and Great White, and now you have Leatherwolf. Now, how big are Leatherwolf?
They're not that big.
Yeah, like when you talk about the other bands, they've all had platinum albums, MTV videos.
Yeah,
like in this day and age, like who cares?
Yeah,
you know, you look at a like, okay, they have a right to, you know. It's their investment, it's their band, they have a right to protect it.
Yeah.
But in the grand scheme of things, like if they played around here, how many people would they get?
They would not get much of a draw.
Yeah.
Now, maybe in Europe, you know, a little different, but here, they wouldn't really get a draw. And I mean, that's not a slam on them. It's just, I mean, that's how it is. It's, they were never, you know, they were never huge. I mean, definitely a lot of us metalheads around. Oh yeah, Leatherwolf, yeah. But you know, they're not Armored Saint.
No, like, you know,
and even then, Armored Saint isn't Metallica.
Yeah, like I brought,
although close.
Yeah, okay. Like I bought the Street Ready album when it came out on, and that was on Island Records. So they were on a major label.
Sure.
And what they had at the time in was they had three guitars. they had three guitar players. And yeah. That was a little bit unique at the time because it was mostly like a single player or two. Or you might have one guy hidden off stage, or you know, you'd have a keyboard player. But these guys had three guitars, and they were a good band, but they never broke. And for them to come out now with something like this, and you know, does it mean a lot to the normal metalhead out there, that if they, I'm not going to see Leatherwolf because it has Wade Black, you know, singing instead of Michael. And,
right.
You know, and it's like, really, guys, this is like the Rat thing again. like what are you guys doing? Can you not, you know, you're going to make more money.
Yeah.
If you play together than you do pulling off this sort of crap.
Yeah.
Because what are we going to have now? Are we going to have two Leatherwolves? Like, really?
Well, yeah.
A lot of people don't care about one Leatherwolf.
But one's going to go out as Jeff Tate's Leatherwolf.
Jack Russell's Leatherwolf. I'm telling you, you could get these bills where you could have the same bands on both bills and you could have like six or seven bands on each one.
Yeah.
And they could all be called the same thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why you and I don't even know why Blabberwealth would mention it unless they were having a slow news day, like Ozzy didn't do anything bizarre.
Yeah, or James Hetfield only went to the, you know, he didn't do something someday, or, you know, because if he farts wrong, it's in Blabbermouth, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they're a great news site, but I don't know why they would even bother with that.
Well, maybe it means something to a lot of people, but I guarantee you, if you read the comments at the end, it's going to be like, who cares?
Right.
What, they're still together? Or, like, I thought they broke up in 1994.
Right.
Or, like, they haven't released a record in probably like 8 years anyway.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I think they're probably one of these bands that they're on the Monsters of Rock cruise, but they're probably on at like 9:40 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? When you've all the bigger bands are on at 9:40 at night.
Yeah.
Like, that's where they are in the pecking order of all this. And it's just statements like this from some of these bands just drive me batty because, you know, I've been on about Queensryche. You know, I've shouted from the rooftops, I'm sick of this and I'm sick of that, you know. And now you have a band like, it's a small, very, very small band.
Yeah.
And they're coming out with something like this. And I'm thinking, lads, will you grow up? Just, you know, grow up, get in. You don't even have to go in the same car or van or bus or whatever you're on. Do your fly-in dates, get on your packages or whatever, go over to Europe, play your couple of shows, because this band aren't touring constantly. There's no way they're getting in buses for 6 or 8 weeks or they're going to Europe for 3 months.
Right.
They're doing the fly-in dates. They're probably getting maybe some offers to do some festivals in South America and, you know, and in Europe. And they're nowhere near.
Yeah, it's probably primarily like festival circuit and probably not North America.
Yeah, but people are looking at a statement like that and saying, lads, grow up.
Yeah.
You know, grow up. I just found it odd. Like, you know, what? I know a lot of the news and this is not really news, but something like that just made me laugh.
I mean, I guess the only positive thing about it, right, is you probably do have a certain number of people that do look at that story and go, oh, gee, who's Leatherwolf? And then maybe go and go to YouTube and check it out. And okay, so maybe it moves a couple albums at the end of the day from some people that never heard of them before and go, oh, it's a cool band. Well, how come I miss these guys?
Do you not think a band like that has a problem when they record an album with one singer and then they come out 2 years later with the original singer and record the same album again?
Yeah.
Like that was a problem straight away. I was like, what are you doing? Can you not write some new tracks?
I'm surprised they could afford to do it.
Yeah. And the thing is, I have the CD. It's good.
Yeah.
But stuff like this just boggles my mind in this day and age because there's no money in album sales, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, they're not a big band.
Right.
And if they're going to make money on the road, like if you're a casual fan and you turn up now to see Leatherwolf, would you know what the band members look like? Would that bother you? Like, would you walk in and say, that's fucking not Michael. That's Wade Black.
I don't think most people, I mean, I'm sure there's certain people that probably are, you know, big time fans and they're expecting to walk in and see a certain band, but I think for them, probably not. I mean, think about it. When we went to see
Foreigner,
Foreigner, I, people around us, they don't think they had a clue that there was nobody original.
Nobody. no original members.
Great show, great sound.
They were great.
Jeff does a great job as the MD on that, but there was the only person who's still in the band from the original band was Mick Jones, and he wasn't at the show that night.
No, but the problem there, well, not the problem, the thing Farner had going for him is their songs.
Yeah.
They had huge, huge hits.
Right. But think about it. They had a huge hit, so you'd think that, and they had videos, they had all this other stuff, you'd think people would know who the hell the band looked like.
I know, but Kelly Hansen could nail Lou really well.
Yeah.
But Leatherwolf have no big albums.
Right.
They have no hits. Like, you'd want to be a real staunch fan to know who's up on the stage playing as Leatherwolf. And you have this sort of crap. It just boggles my mind. I'm sorry. It's just, in this day and age, like with them and Rat and all these other bands, like Stephen Pearcy played in a club here. I think the end of last month.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he could probably go out as Rat and play in a venue two or three times as big as that. Just make hay while the sun shines. You're not getting any younger. Make your money now if you can.
Yeah.
And just get on with it. And if you want to record new music, fine. If you don't, fine. But don't start all these shenanigans, two fucking Leatherwolves and all that. Come on. You know, you're not Metallica, you're not Queensryche, you know, you didn't have a platinum album, you didn't have massive videos.
Yeah, yeah.
Just grow up. And that's my rant over now.
There you go.
I've been saving them up.
You feel better? All right. There you go, a little Leatherwolf. I figured since we hammered on them a little bit with the discussion piece, why not play a little bit of Leatherwolf? And that one is called Gypsies and Thieves off of the self-titled Leatherwolf album. So with that out of the way, it is time to get into a little conversation with our first guest of the show. That is returning guest Fang Von Rothenstein from the mighty Lords of the Trident. Very happy to have Fang back on the show with me again. I've been a big fan of their new album, Frostburn. And of course, the band has been very busy lately with all kinds of live dates and doing all kinds of stuff. So I was very surprised that I was able to get Fang back on the show. But fortunately, the gods of PR made that possible. Very happy to talk to Fang once again and bring our conversation to you, our loyal Focus on Metal audience. So with that bit of an intro out of the way, let's sit back and do a bit of battle with the voice of Lords of the Trident, Fang Von Rothenstein.
What's up, beans? This is Fang Von Rothenstein from the most metal band on earth, the Lords of the Trident. And after a long day of pillaging and sword fighting, I like to sit down in front of the old fire, pour myself a bottle of cognac, and listen to Focus on Metal, where the real metal is.
All right, listeners, I am extremely psyched to have once again back on the show our friend Fang Von Rathenstein from Lords of the Trident. Of course, you guys have heard me play a lot of Lords of the Trident lately, because they got that great new album out called Frostburn. And tonight, I am honored to have back on the show again the man himself, Fang Von Rathenstein. How are we doing today, my friend?
I'm doing fantastic. Honored to be here. Honored to be here.
Awesome. And I must say that, you know, it's been really cool to finally see that all of that going out and waging the battles is really starting to pay off for you guys. That there's been a lot of talk about Lords of the Trident, but also even talking to a guest a couple weeks ago, Maxwell Carlisle, and of course, you know, bang, your name comes right up right at the beginning because you sing the title track. And then, of course, Max was like, yeah, we got some other things we're talking about. I can't really talk about it, but it was really good to hear that people are finally starting to come around to the massive metal entity that is Lords of the Trident.
You mean Max didn't tell you about our all Beyonce cover band? I didn't. Oh, shoot. I wasn't supposed to say anything. Oh, damn it. He's going to kill me.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. I hope you guys weren't going to go out and do battle with that one. I just I don't see it happening.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, and it's been just kind of a flurry, a whirlwind of activity after, you know, putting out Frostburn and doing this and that, you know, and we've really been lucky to have, you know, all the fantastic barbarians out there who are playing our stuff and spreading the name around, you know, like yourself, of course, one of the stronger ones. You know, so it's been very fun, and things are on the up and up. So we're in full battle mode right now. We're very excited.
Yeah, you know, I was checking to see all the battles that are coming up, and obviously you've got a couple up with my friends in Zephaniah, and it's great to see that you guys are just getting out there, and there's just so many people that are actually willing to take on Lords of the Trident in a live battle.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and it was sort of, you know, honestly, it was sort of touch and go there for a while because, you know, we have the new lead guitarist now. So we were booking some things. We were booking a lot of things sort of locally. But now that we're more solidified with our new guy, we're trying to maybe book a few more, you know, a few more battles that are further out. We're actually in talks right now with some of the guys from Death Dealer. Out in the California area, about possibly doing Japan in 2016 with those guys.
Awesome.
We'd already started looking at throwing together a Japan tour, and then, you know, we started talking and asking, you know, who knew who and contacts and things like that, and then they came along and I said, hey, you want to jump on with us in 2016? I'm like, heck yes, we do. So it should be, you know, I'm looking forward to that. I hope it all works out. You know, it's about time we got back on the battleships and sailed the seas and, you know, actually made it over to the other continent over there. So
that would definitely be awesome. And I think I'm due to talk to a couple of the guys from Death Dealer again in the very near future as well. So of course I'll have to mention that and thank them for bringing you guys on board as well.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not completely solidified yet, so don't thank them quite yet because they might just pull the rug out from under us. You never know. But I've got my fingers crossed. I've got my swords crossed. I've got my axes crossed. I'm hoping that this all works out, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You know, let's talk a little bit about Frostburn. I mean, obviously, you know, I think your best album to date. It just seems to have solidified everything altogether in that album. So, you know, how long did it take to get that whole puppy together?
Well, thank you. I think it's our best album too. You know, in terms of, in terms of writing and production and things like that, this one actually went kind of quick. There was a few songs on there. Knights of Dragons Deep, the first track in great particular track comes to mind. Yeah, it is one of my favorites. That one, actually, Asian Metal wrote, I mean, we've been playing that live for, I have to say, probably like a year and a half. He wrote that a long time ago, and we have like a demo version of it that was released, actually, you know, hilariously enough, as a secret Santa gift. So somebody out there has a secret Santa gift of this like super rare, you know, demo track of Knights of Dragons Deep before we actually, you know, made it for real. But in terms of actually, you know, sitting down doing the recording and the editing and mixing and all that sort of stuff, I would say that it probably was wrapped up in a grand total of, oh, probably like 5 months, you know, total. And it would have been quicker if Kilius would have gotten off of his butt and, you know, gone to more recordings. That guy, I mean, you know, he's always always on this date and that date. He's got the new Tinder app, you know, he knows about these things. I don't understand. You know, so he's always out and about, and I can never, like, pin him down to get a damn recording date. So that was the problem. But it came along rather, you know, rather quickly, or at least it seemed to me like it was the blink of an eye sort of a thing. I'm sure when I was knee deep in editing drum tracks, it wasn't seeming like a blink of an eye, but it was, you know, rather quick. And again, we were joined by our fantastic and wonderful producer, Doug Olson, who did Plan of Attack. You know, he's also known for working with Nirvana and Smashing Pumpkins and Cheap Trick and things like that. And, you know, Doug is just an amazing, amazing individual. You know, I never thought we'd have a mortal producer. Hmm. You know, I never thought anyone would be able to actually listen to the tracks in their raw format without their heads exploding or you know, just at least copious bleeding. You understand? But he's able to do it. And I mean, this guy is the strongest mortal I've ever seen. And then we were joined again by the mastering agent for this, Dan Harjung, who did the mastering on A Plan of Attack as well. You know, and he's worked with Robert Plant and Queensryche and all sorts of amazing people. You know, and it's really interesting. These people who create these massive, incredible albums are just like the quietest human beings you will ever hear. You know, they just talk like, oh, well, I think that maybe... You know, they're just like, they whisper every time they talk, and you almost want to grab them and be like, speak up, man, come on, come on, you know, let's do this. But, you know, I got to hand it to them. They did a heck of a job.
Yeah, no, it's definitely solid. I mean, the minute I put it on, it was just like, oh, this is just incredible. And I love the fact that Knights of Dragons Deep kicks it off as well. That was a featured track on one of our episodes a few weeks back as well, and, it's just the whole thing all the way through, you know, it's just like, wow, you take Plan of Attack and just you guys ramped it up to beyond where I thought you were going to go with it. So it's a great album.
And yeah, I think we all agreed that, you know, that one was absolutely unanimous that Knights of Dragons Deep has to kick off the album. I think if you know, if you want like a flagship song of sort of like the overall a standard Lords of the Trident song, like what is Lords of the Trident sound like, you know, in a song? I think that one really sort of boils it down to the essence, and I think that's why it's a very popular track. A lot of people really enjoy that one. We play it live a lot. I mean, pretty much almost every show. But yeah, I really do enjoy that track.
Yeah,
it's a fantastic track.
Yeah, and definitely, I mean, that's why I, you know, after listening to the whole thing, I settled on it, because a lot of times when I take an album and I want a featured track, I always think, what represents the band the best on an album? And you guys can be pretty varied on stuff as well, but that one, that was what it was. It was like, if I had to tell someone, this is Frostburn, it was like, that was the track to play and have people go, oh, I get it. So, yeah, definitely great. And the cover on it is awesome as well.
Oh, man, I love the artwork on this album. We have the same artist as Plan of Attack. Is this dude from Greece. Just an incredible, incredible artist. The guy has, like, the ability, you know, and we've worked with a bunch of artists, and, you know, no super big offense to them, but, you know, most, a lot of the other artists have been, you know, sort of bad with communication and it, like, you know, they're artists, so they're like, I'm creating, you know, I need some space, I need to create this, you know, and they're out creating. This guy, you know, you send him an email, you get an email back like an hour tops, you know, I mean, he is like on the ball, and he has the ability. You tell him, like, you know, I'm thinking of this, you know, giant barbarian pointing at a map, sort of like camera down, pointing up, and he just makes it, and it's just perfect, you know, every single time. And we really sort of let him loose on this. We gave him very, very minimal input, and he came back with that cover art, and we're like, wow, you know, I think we need to pay you more. This is just incredible, you know?
Yeah, it's an awesome cover. What I also like about it is that, you know, you can spend a lot of time looking at it, like you can with like an old Derek Riggs cover, and you start seeing that he put things in the rocks and this, that, you know, it isn't just what it appears to be. And so there's so much to it that's really good, and it's just got that really good dynamic depth to it as well. It's a great cover to look at, and I think it really represents the album.
Yes, absolutely. There's a lot of incredible detail. You can tell a lot of time was spent with it, and yeah, exactly. Same with the album. You know, we really got on this album in particular, we really sweated the small stuff. We really got down into the very nitty gritty details. There's a lot of stuff that I, you know, quote unquote fixed on while we were going through the you know, the quantization and the mixing and things like that, that no one would ever hear, you know. Like, but we knew it was there, so we had to fix it. So I think you're right that the album and the front cover really play hand in hand in terms of the amount of detail put into it.
Right. Yeah. You know, and another cool thing that this year, of course, is I always love my favorite album title ever, Death or Sandwich. And you guys decided to re-release that, and I thought that was great for you guys doing that as well.
Well, you know, it was great because we coincided this. We planned this out. We said, you know, Death of Sandwich was released on Friday the 13th, you know, February 13th, Friday the 13th, back in 2009. And then we had another Friday the 13th on February 13th coming up, and we're like, you know, we have to do it then. It's got, you know, we have to do this. It's, you know, it's too good not to do it. And then, sort of out of the blue, you know, cause Death of Sandwich has been out of print for a long time. Sort of out of the blue, Generation Metal, Records out of Ohio came to us and they said, hey, we want to reprint, Death of Sandwich for you because we're getting so many, requests for it. And we don't have any more, and you don't have any more. And I was kind of sitting there going, like, people actually want to hear that old album. Okay. All right. Fine. Okay. That's good. I'm slightly embarrassed about it, but if you want it, that's fine. That's totally good. So yeah, they made a brand new cover art for it and reprinted it. And it looks a lot better, I think, you know, I mean, back when we were doing Death of Sandwich, it was, you know, well, that was the early days of the Reformation. We didn't have a whole lot of, well, we had pretty much zero, contacts in terms of artists and in terms of layouts and anything like that. So, you know, it was pretty elementary in terms of the original cover. So I like what they've done with the new cover. I think it's pretty cool.
No, it's cool. Just to have so much stuff going on with you guys is just really great to see.
And we've got more stuff coming up too. Yes, a lot more stuff. There's right now, I am currently working on the, you'll like this. I'm currently working on the Knights of Dragons Deep music video. So there you go.
Awesome.
we worked with a film crew out of Madison, and it's really cool. I don't want to spoil it too much, but there's this big giant battle scene, lots of swordplay, lots of blood, a lot of like, we're basically fighting this evil sort of frost witch, and her minions that she's controlling telepathically. And it's really fun. So, we are finishing up shooting the actual like band shots of playing through the track at the very end of the month on the 31st. And then we are hoping to release the Knights of Dragons Deep music video in mid-June.
Awesome.
And also at the same time, the new lead guitarist, the Baron and I are working. We had this thing for our Kickstarter campaign. It was a quite high dollar amount level. It was the $200 level. And the $200 level was make Lords of the Trident play any song you want. You know, so we were a little worried about that one, but a bunch of people kicked in and they wanted us to play this and that and the other thing. We got some, shall we say, interesting requests. and what we found out was a lot of these people who requested these songs were nowhere near our area or anywhere that we were going to be anytime soon. And so we said, you know, the original intent was, oh, we'd play this live when they'd come out to a show. But, you know, since they wouldn't be able to see us anytime, I mean, like one guy was in Alaska, one dude, you know, it was like one dude was in Japan. It was like, okay, all right. You know, so we said, let's go ahead and make this like a free EP. We'll do the covers, we'll record them, and then we'll give out the EP for free. So we're going to do the Kickstarter covers that were requested. We're going to throw in maybe one or two or three more songs. You know, so maybe it'll be like five, six, seven song EP, LP, something like that. And then we're just going to release it online for free. So that's going to be coming out hopefully end of the summer, I'm hoping. You know, we'll see how quickly that comes.
Awesome.
But,
good.
Lots of really, you know, we're busy. We're busy right now.
Great. And, you know, that's so as soon as I find out about that, I'm obviously you guys will know that I've posted it on the blog spot. So you guys out there listening, just keep track on focusonmetal.blogspot.com, because anytime I get Lords of the Trident news, it goes right up there. So when the Baron joined, it was like within 24 hours, that was up on our blog spot. So I want to always try to keep the momentum going for Lords of the Trident. So,
well, thank you. Thank you. We appreciate it.
I know you've had a few live dates so far. You got, you know, a few coming up very, very soon. And then you got a whole bunch over the summer. How's the live stuff been going? Really, really good. Been putting a lot of new Frostburn stuff into the set.
Absolutely. You know, we've been playing, we've been focusing mostly, almost completely on Frostburn material. Yeah, we throw in a few of the old fan favorites, of course. But yeah, our sets now are probably something like 60 to 70% Frostburn tunes. And then, you know, the rest are just the ones that everybody wants to hear, your Skyforce, the Metal Sea, the Chains on Fire, stuff like that. But yeah, it's been really fun. And actually, we are headlining a festival in Ryo, Wisconsin called Maybash tomorrow night. And this will actually be the first show with our brand new guitarist, Baron Torian Helshar. And we're really excited. We've been practicing all week. You know, we've been melting guitars and there's been a few amp explosions, but it's been, you know, the good kind. So, I mean, we're really excited to sort of unleash the Baron on the world here and to see what he's got, you know, see if he can match the amount of faces melted that Killius has melted in the past. So, you know, we've got kind of a tally board going. So it's a managerial, technique, you know, for better input or better, you know, that sort of a thing. Like, right. Can you beat this guy?
Well, he's got a large mountain to overcome there, but,
that's true.
I'm sure you guys picked the right guy.
Oh, he's just fantastic. Like, I mean, for a long time, you know, he masqueraded as a mortal in the band Luna Mortis, which was also actually out of Madison, where we're currently stationed here. And they were signed to Century Media Records, and they toured all over the world and you know, did European tours and Canadian tours and this and that and the other thing. And, so he has quite the history about him in terms of shredding pretty hardcore. So, it's one of those things that once he joined the band, it's almost like, I don't know, like, you know, we all have to up our game a little bit more, you know, just to kind of, cause I don't know, to not to quite keep up with him, but to you know, sort of match him in his, on the same playing field. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
You know?
So that, and that's awesome too. My favorite story about Luna Mortis, which they're, you know, great band, and I got in their debut album, and you know, I had it cranked in the car, and I was picking up my kids, and one of their friends was in the car, and after about like 5 minutes, my daughter was like, "Can you put something else on? Because my friend's really starting to get scared." Definitely a great band, and I'm glad to see that the Baron has made the transition over to Lords, and hopefully made you guys even more battle ready. So that's good to see.
Absolutely, and I mean the guy came ready with all this whole backlog. I mean, you know, he's sort of been in seclusion for many years, and came with this whole backlog of songs that, you know, pretty much fully fleshed out songs that we're just sitting here listening to and like, yeah, oh yeah, absolutely, we could do this in Lords of the Trident, you know. And I mean, so who knows, you know, it may not be a full, you know, 2 years until the next full album. We might be able to smash this one out in a year or so. You never know. I mean, this guy writes fast. He's crazy. He also has the ability to solo with one hand and to sword fight with the other at the same time. I mean, it's nuts. I've never seen anybody do that. Not even Asian Metal can do that. You know, he has to sort of put the pick down and grab the sword. And so I'm really impressed by him. He's a really fantastic player. Great guy, great swordsman. I really like him.
Too that you say about 2 years since Plan of Attack, and it doesn't really seem like it, because you guys always seem to be doing something in the interim. It isn't like you put an album out and then we don't really hear from you and for 2 years. It seems like, almost to me, it almost seems like Plan of Attack came out last year, because you always hear from you guys.
Well, you know, it's one of those things that I don't think in this day and age you can really afford to sit on your laurels, especially being a sort of semi-independent band. You know, if you put out an album and that satiates your fans for maybe a month or two. You know, if you're lucky, you get three or four. You know, if it's a really good album, you get 3 or 4 months out of it. But people, you know, although they're still listening to it, they want more. They want to see more. They want the music videos. They want the this, that, and the other thing. They want to hear the covers. They want to hear you. They want to see your live show. They want to see you on tour. You know, so it doesn't benefit anyone for us to like put out the album and then to go sit on our lazy boys for 6 months. You know, I mean, and I don't think we would be comfortable doing that either. We're a band that likes to get out there and battle live. We like to, you know, be knee deep in the bloodshed and to play in front of people and to travel around to meet new people and to do, you know, fun things. So, you know, that's sort of our MO. That's what we do. And I think that'll hopefully continue, you know,
right.
As long as I'm at the helm, that'll continue. That's for sure.
And another thing I got to compliment you on too, that I think is also part of your bigger plan and the way you guys approach things is that, where, you know, a lot of times with semi-independent and independent bands, as far as merch, it's very limited. It's usually, you know, might be the t-shirt with the album cover, things like that. But you guys are always coming up with new and unique merchandise and stuff. I know you guys just put out the Armor shirt and stuff. And so
yeah,
there's always some great Lords merch that's always on sale up at your website.
don't forget the soap.
That's right.
The metal soap.
I made a comment about that to someone. I'm like, what other band can you get metal soap? And I know.
Like,
and it's cool looking metal soap too. And I look at it and go, I can't believe they're only charging this much for this soap because it looks the balls. It really does.
Oh, and it smells great. I mean, it works. I've washed a bunch of melted faces with it, you know, mostly ladies, and it's all good. It's all good. So, but yes, it's one of those things that, like, you know, if you look at, I mean, you know, we can be realistic. The music industry in terms of live, both live and CD sales and things like that. You know, we're not in the 1980s or the 1990s anymore. We're not. Nobody's making tons of gold coins off of their album sales.
Right.
You know, if you look realistically at staying alive on the road, traveling from place to place, being able to pay for gas and food at the same time, you know, you really have to have some sort of an approach to that. And we've, you know, luckily we've been able to do things like print our own shirts, to team up with people to make, you know, weird merchandise items like metal soaps and things like that. You know, our approach primarily is if there's any chance we can do it ourselves, we'll do it ourselves, just to save some cash. And then I also think that, you know, the fans really enjoy it. I mean, how many other bands can you say that, you know, the lead singer or the lead guitarist or, you know, whomever is working on it himself actually printed this shirt, like put his hands on the shirt. You know, it's one thing to buy like a, you know, I don't know, a Holy Grail shirt or an Iron Maiden shirt or something, you know, that some random shirt plant made, you know, and they're cool. Don't get me wrong, but you know, how many people can say like, oh, you know, the lead singer himself like pressed this CD or made this shirt or formed this soap or, you know, things like that, which I think adds a little bit of personality to the merchandise that we're able to offer. And it adds a connection to the fans, you know, which is really important nowadays for most bands. You know, it's we're in a different era. You know, long gone are the times where you look at the bands and magazines, you know, and maybe write them a letter and you might get an answer back. Maybe, you never know. I mean, you can go on to pretty much anybody's Facebook page nowadays and write the Facebook page a message. And, you know, the independent bands, if they're doing it right, will answer back. You know, I there's a couple of artists, up and coming metal artists and up and coming other, you know, other genres that I've, you know, found out about online. I've seen their music videos and I sent them a message, you know, just asking questions or saying, hey, you know, keep up the good work or that kind of stuff, you know, and a person in the band emailed me back and we started up this conversation. And I can't think of any other time that, you know, this was possible where you can, and I mean, I encourage all of our fans, you know, if they want to ask us questions or get into a conversation or whatever, I mean, by all means, please post on our walls. My solemn mission, you know, on the road and not, is to answer like every message, every email, you know, personally, that comes in. So, I mean, that's what I do. That's our, cause our fans are very, very important to us. You know, I mean, we're the reason, they're the reason that we're out there, still surviving. If we weren't playing to anybody, then, it would be rather difficult to put gas in the van, you know?
That's right. And of course, you guys, if you, you know, you want to talk to Fang or anybody else in the band, then obviously that's facebook.com/Lords of the Trident. And of course, their regular official website where you can get the all important merchandise as well as battle schedule is lordsofthetrident.com, which is also, you know, you don't see a lot of bands out there right now still that have a really fully fledged website like you guys do as well. A lot of them rely solely on Facebook and, you know, other social media outlets, but it's great that you've got, you know, a really nice website, easy to get around, and all the information you want is right there. So it's a great one-stop shop.
Well, thank you. I took some Barbarian Night classes in computers, and I threw that one together myself. So I'm glad it's useful.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely is. So, I don't know, anything else we haven't touched on that's going on in Lord's world? I think we've covered almost everything.
Yeah, I mean, we're just excited to have the Baron playing with us. We've got a bunch of upcoming shows. Most of them are local. Mm-hmm. We are branching out we're starting to book a few, you know, out of towners for July, August, September. We're trying a new approach. You know, for a few years we've done these larger scale tours where we'd be on the road for a week and a half, 2 weeks, sometimes 1 week, you know, that kind of thing. And we'd go, you know, all the way out to, you know, this place or that place. I mean, you know, it'd be a constant tour schedule. We'd play every night. And we looked at the logistics of those tours. You know, we said, okay, you know, what was great about those tours? What sucked about those tours? And when we boiled it down, what it came down to was, okay, what was great about those tours was Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then what sucked about those tours was Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know? And so we said to ourselves, well, why don't we do this? Instead of having one giant blowout tour per year, let's, you know, change the approach so that we are like constantly on tour. So once a month we will pick a direction, you know, so we'll say north or south or southwest or, you know, et cetera. And then for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we will drive as far as we can Thursday, play a show, wake up, drive as far as we can Friday, play a show, wake up, drive as far as we can Saturday, play a show. And then on Sunday we drive all the way back. And so then, you know, instead of expecting to see Lords of the Trident in your neighborhood maybe once a year, maybe during, you know, summer or whatever, you know, we're hoping to be, to, you know, sort of be always on tour, and in that sense, you know, hit up new lands that we've never really played before, new directions that we've never really gone, you know, in terms of more west and more I guess southwest, you know. So we're trying that approach. It's going to be, we actually already did a short mini tour, which was just fantastic, in early, January, when we went up to Kentucky, and just a fantastic time, worked out great. So we're hoping to do more of those. So, keep checking the website. One of the cool things about the website too, is you can actually subscribe to our gig calendar. You can, tell it to show, to show up automatically in like Google Calendar or Outlook or, you know, this or that. And then anytime we add a battle, it will automatically sync with your calendar, so you will never miss a show.
Awesome. I'm still praying, hoping that you guys will eventually make it out to around the Boston area. That would be fantastic. But, you know, I understand logistics of everything, and this is definitely a pretty far distance from your home base. So
Yes. But I love Boston. I've been out to Boston many, many, many times, and I just enjoy the heck out of the city. So don't count it out. You know, I mean, we definitely would like to come out. Absolutely.
No, that would definitely be very cool to hang out with you guys. And, you know, a lot of times too, when we're out, we got bands that, you know, finally come around that we've had on the show. A lot of times we end up hanging out at the merch booth and just being merch sales guys for the night. And that's a good, you know, that's a great way to interact with our favorite bands, is to help them actually get some gas and food money. And
yeah, absolutely.
You know, and at the same time, you have a good laugh.
At the very least, we could share a beer.
There you go. Awesome. All right. I've been looking forward to this ever since the PR company set it up. I was a little bummed that we couldn't, you know, the schedule didn't work out for last night, but I was glad that finally be able to have you guys back on the show, because I'm sure, you know, the listeners are getting very familiar with you guys, and this gives me another opportunity to let them know what's going on with Lords and to play some more Lords music as well and spread the word of Lords the Trident. So it's great to have you back on.
Well, awesome. It's great to be back on, and thank you very much.
All right. Well, have a good rest tonight, and if you know I don't see you guys over the summer, have a great summer.
Well, thank you very much. You too.
All right.
All right. We'll see you.
Later.
Bye.
Got a great guest on the show this week, as you guys can remember for years, since back when Jay was my co-host. Probably the pet band of the show has always been Armored Saint. It's been a band we've always loved and respected, and it's just something about the band. And every time they put out an album, it's an event for us. And we had the event again with the release of Win Hands Down, and we are on the line today to talk about that with the one and only Joey Vera. How are we doing, Joey?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. And I'll be gladly be your pet today.
Awesome. And I'll let Richie kick things off here, because he was lucky enough to see you guys on the tour with Saxon as you guys roll through Worcester. He's got a few questions about the tour, and then we'll dive into the album.
Sounds great.
Yeah, Joey, so how did the tour go for you, do you think, in the end? Did you think you did well with the Saxon crowd?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's a Saxon crowd. I think it's a Saxon on the Saint crowd.
Okay.
I think a lot of the fans that listen to both bands are basically the same people. So it was amazing for us. I mean, every show that we played with them basically sold out. So the crowd and the fans that were there to see the shows were there to see both bands, I felt, and it was just really a phenomenal run. I mean, we're trying to actually do more with them in the future, and they're great guys. They're super classy and super down to earth, not to mention the band. And we all got along great. You know, in fact, they were suggesting that we continue to do this in the future. So we're trying to make that happen, actually.
Yes, when you look at a guy like Biff who can still sing like that in his mid-60s, like that surely has to be a motivation for you guys to just keep going on and on for a while anyway.
Yeah, you know, there's he's the real deal. He's been doing it for a long time, and he's a professional. He's a great front man and super nice guy, so definitely an inspiration seeing what they're doing.
You know, obviously a new album, you know, as I've pointed out on Twitter and on our blog and everything, just, I mean, absolutely fantastic. One of the things I think it's amazing about you guys is that, you know, you talk about these bands that, they can't write albums the way they used to and stuff. And yet every album you guys come out with, it still has that Armored Saintness to it, you know? Like, for instance, you know, Muscle Memory, I think, is a great example of that. For one, it's probably my favorite track on the album, but it's just got that unique way that you guys put songs together. You know, things like how you get kind of that gang harmony vocal with the word muscle, and then John just does Memory by himself. And it's just those unique touches like that that make Armored Saint albums just so unique to you guys. And does that come naturally at this point for you?
I guess it does. So I just did an interview 3 minutes ago, and they asked me if making this record was easy or hard. And I thought, well, I don't think I ever made a record that was necessarily easy. I think that they all take a lot of work, and there's a lot of emotional attachment you get involved in, and it's also just it's a lot of work. It's physically, it's a lot of work to make a record. So I wouldn't ever categorize it as being easy. Naturally, does it come naturally? I think that the songs come naturally to me. Yeah, and to us. Yeah, I do think it does. It isn't something that we really overthink, but not to say that during our career we haven't overthought, because there are certain records, in my opinion, during our career that were overthought. But nowadays, I would say since we got back together in 2000, this is something we really strive to not do, and that's not to really make the creative process something that's too... too overthought and too contrived. You know, we just want to make music that we like, that we want to hear, and so we make the music kind of for ourselves first, but secondly, you know, we know where we come from and we know what lineage we have with our fans and with our catalog, so we don't try to alienate ourselves too much from that. But at the same time, we really want to take chances. We want to have fun with the creative process. We want to try new things and try different things. And I think maybe that is part of the ingredient that has made it like come natural for us, is that we just, those are the things that we have make an attempt on when we write music.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I can definitely see that you guys had some fun in making this. You know, you listen to a song like Dive, and the first time I heard it, I was like, wow, they just unleashed their inner Pink Floyd on this song. It's such a unique song, and the further you get in, like, the more Floyd-like it is, and it just, I don't know, it just sit so well with the way you put it in the album as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it, and John came with me to the idea of writing a song with piano that he wanted to sing. You know, sing a song with piano, and I thought it was a great idea because he has a great voice, and a lot of people don't get a chance to hear him sing in that register, you know.
Yeah.
And so we, you know, writing a ballad, you know, the first tendency is to think like, well, okay, here we go, we're writing a ballad, and then it's going to have big drums and a big big orgasmic ending and a big, you know, a peak part, you know. But when I started writing it, it was really brooding and sort of dark. And I said, well, I want to stay here. I don't want to go anywhere else, but just keep it here. So that's where I'm a huge Pink Floyd fan. So I said, I'm going to keep it in the Pink Floyd world and just make it super gloomy and dark. And
yeah,
I think it worked out pretty cool.
Oh, I think so. Even listening to the lyrics and I'm listening to, you know, Diving in the Deep End of the Pool and stuff, and just trying to, I had a Storm Thurgeson album cover in my head as I'm listening to the lyrics, and you know, the pool's empty, you're diving in deep, and yeah, it just, I mean, the whole thing just worked really well for me.
Cool, good, I'm glad.
Yeah, so Joey, do you write music all the time, or do you guys just decide, right, we're going to make an album, and like you turn your cap around and you're in Armored Saint mode? Which way does it work for you?
I would say that for the most part, that's how it works. When we decide to write, it starts snowballing, and you're working at that moment. We're not touring and so forth, and we have downtime. I don't have a tendency to sit and write a big library of things that could become Armored Saint songs. It's not to say that I don't write, because I do write along the way, but not specifically for that. You know, I'll write something, and if it happens to be a tune that I feel like would be good for Saint, then I kind of keep it on the side pile and then say, well, this might be something down the line. But yeah. It's not like I write a whole bunch of music and then you say, okay, let's make a record now. I just happen to have 10 songs already written. You know? it doesn't work like that. It's more like, you know, we are always... you're always like inspired by or influenced by where we are at that moment when we decide to get creative. And so that is always the launching pad. And once we start at that place, it usually snowballs from there. We're pretty lucky in that it just starts to snowball. We start writing and writing, and it just keeps going. And we sometimes write really fast at first. When we decided to start writing for this record, I think we wrote about 4 or 5 songs in a span of like 6 weeks, which is, for us, is super fast. But then it slowed down a little bit, we sort of took a step back and life got in the way, whatever. Yeah. So it just keeps going until we decide we're done.
Great though, having a singer like John in the band, because he still has that identifiable voice and he still actually sounds phenomenal. So you must feel like you can like throw anything at him and you know he'll be able to handle it.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the thing is with John is that there's a couple of things. One is that he does sound better than ever. He's been taking care of his voice in the last 10 years or so, and he's really just been, you can tell that he's taking care of his voice. And the other thing is that I've known him for so long, and I know what his strengths are and what his weaknesses are. So I feel like I always am trying to write music that is going to accommodate his voice. Mm. So when he comes in and sings stuff, it's like, you don't have to say anything. he just comes in and he does it, and it's like, oh, that sounds great,
Yeah.
And we're on the same page about 95% of everything that we write together. So it's just it's a cool working relationship that we've kind of learned with each other over the years, and makes it really fun and easy.
Yeah, yeah. It obviously shows in the albums as well. You guys are definitely one of these bands where Armored Saint's putting out an album, I'm getting it, and cool. I think, and every time you do it, you always exceed expectations on it as well, which is amazing given the amount of time that you guys have been recording. Now, at any point in the making of the album, did anyone ever decide that, or propose that you guys call the album an exercise in debauchery?
No, we never. I don't think that was a title we thought of.
Okay.
I can't even remember if we had much discussion about that at all. Actually, it was more like we wrote all these songs, and then when we were done demoing them, I was already at that point before we even started recording. I started to think like, well, what's the opening track going to be? You know, what's the one song that just sort of says it all?
Mm.
And Win Hands Down for me and John were like, that song just says it all. I mean, it has a little bit of everything in it of what we do. It's got great melodies. It's got, you know, kind of a classic rock guitar verse section, and then it's got a thrashy part, got a super great chorus, got a little bit of Thin Lizzy thing going on in it, and it has this weird psychedelic jazzy section in the middle.
And
it kind of like summed it all up for us. And then once we decided that was the opening track, it just seemed like a no-brainer to call the record Win Hands Down.
Okay. Because, you know, I looked at it and you know, as soon as that song came on, you know, of course it's coming on after Mess, and which is kind of a, you know, a good statement. And then Exercise in Debauchery is kind of, I felt like it tied back to that whole thing with Mess. The same thing with Up Yours, and, you know, just, and some of the other lyrics too, just seemed to go into that thing of kind of, you know, just excess and all that. And I was like, wow, I just wonder if anyone ever proposed we should call it an exercise in debauchery, just because it seemed to be almost a theme of the album.
Yeah, you know, there is a few underlying things that are similar. We even had, even on La Raza, the last record, there's the song, well, title track, La Raza. Yeah. That song is also sort of like Mess in the it's about, you know, just taking care of the environment and, you know, human race and be careful and that kind of thing. So the message is somewhat similar even back from back then. So I guess it's a common thread we have since we're getting older maybe, but, yeah, you know, I mean, sometimes I think like the titles of records and even album cover artwork these days, it almost doesn't matter, but you know, I'll mention that next time.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. To us, it does. I mean, we're album guys. I know a lot of our audiences are, you know, our album people. I mean, I'm actually bummed out because I pre-ordered for Metal Blade. And of course, they sent me the digital copy for review. But, you know, here it is like a day after release and I'm still waiting for my order to come in from Metal Blade. It's like, it's killing me because I want the physical one to actually hear the CD and not hear just the, you know, the digital copy. It's like, I want the physical thing so I can really crank it and then find out, you know, look at the album liner notes and all that stuff. So for me as an album guy, it's killing me that I don't have it in my hands yet.
Yeah. I've actually seen a few things posted online about that. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
What's going on with that? But
yeah, I was telling Richie, I'm like, geez, if I got it from Amazon, I'd have it already. Like, I can't believe it. And then he had to like stick the knife in deeper and go, yeah, I think they actually had him at the shows.
Yeah, they did have him at the show.
Yeah, we did. The label let us sell them. They usually don't do that, but they said, why don't you just take the records with you? And we said, sure.
Yeah.
The fans appreciate it.
So you seem to have a very unique relationship with Metal Blade. What I mean by that is, like, it takes, you know, their last album, La Raza, was like 5 years ago. And I'm trying to think, if you're on a label like Frontiers, there's no way to leave you go 5 years between albums or even longer. So you seem to have a very good relationship with that label.
We do. And we're very fortunate that we do. Brian Slagle, the CEO of the label, and has been a supporter of our band since day one. And he's the one who kind of helped us get our start, you know, back with Metal Massacre 2, and he's always been a supporter with us. Even when we left to go to Chrysalis, he said, whenever you get off Chrysalis, you got to come back to my label, and we pretty much did that, and he's, at this point, you know, he's always been such a fan of the band that he just wants to have us on his label, so he kind of says, like, he almost says this, he says, I don't care what you do, just, I want it to be on my label, I don't care what it is, just put it on there. It's not quite that much because he doesn't want us, you know, he would like to see us remain a heavy metal band and not become, you know, some electronica thing or something. But, you know, he's, super generous in that way of allowing us to basically be ourselves and just make the records that we want to make. And he's been supporting us from day one. He still does to this day. And we're super, super lucky that we have that, because we know that if we wouldn't be able to do this with anywhere else, yeah, in a way.
Yeah. Now, what's your take on bands doing EPs now? Because you could probably do that and release music more, you know, it wouldn't be so long a period between each new release. Would that be something in the future that you might look at, or do you still see, like, it has to be an album for you to you know, to justify the band?
I don't know. I mean, there was a time when we, even it was before La Raza, we were making that record. I had this kooky idea of not actually making a record, but making 10 singles. And so, like, release, you know, writing and recording and releasing one song, and then spend another month or two and do a second song. And then you do that until you have 10 songs. But there's this theory that, you know, that people don't buy records anymore. They only buy songs. And I think for a lot of people, that's true. And maybe for the other types of genres of music, that is super true.
Yeah.
But the more I sort of look at heavy metal and in particular, I think that most people in this genre, they're still the album buying crowd. They still like to buy a record. They want 10 songs, or they want the package, and they want the whole, you know, book cover, and, you know, and they want the record. I don't think that they're necessarily buying singles, you know, like, well, what is a single? You know, it's like, no one's really going and doing that.
Yeah.
So I think most people like the fact that bands are putting out records, and they want the records. So I think for us, you know, that's where we come from. We're children of the 70s, and I grew up with records, you know. As a matter of fact, I grew up nothing but LPs is what we had.
Yeah.
And I was reading this great article just the other day about how LP sales have gone through the roof. Like from last year, they're up 65%. Mm-hmm. So people are buying vinyl again.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that is great. And I love that. That's awesome. You know, so we made our new record. It's available on LP as well. So people can get that at the Metal Blade website.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think, like, for a band like us that doesn't make records in a normal cycle, maybe that is something we would explore, so that it wouldn't be so long in between records. Maybe we could do something like an EP of 5 songs or something, 4 songs or whatever. That wouldn't be the weirdest thing to consider. I mean, I think I would do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, do you want to record, like, if there's 10 songs, you only record the 10, or do you record 12 or 14 and only release 10? Like, do you ever have anything left over?
No. You know, we actually intended to do that, but when it came down to it at the end, it was a little bit of a question of logistics and finances that we decided not to do that. So we wanted to put all our eggs in the butt in the one basket, and we only recorded the 9 songs that are on the record.
Yeah.
There was one song that didn't make the cut, and it's not that it's not a good song. I made this sort of executive decision that it didn't quite belong on the record. It made the record too long.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like long records. I really hate long records. So our record's like 51 minutes as it is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's borderline too long for me. You know, there was one song left over, and that may end up on a future recording, and you never know.
Yeah, yeah. And you're right. I think that the 9 songs on here, I mean, that's like the perfect album length, you know, and otherwise you do start to be like, you can't remember like everything that came before, but this is like just the perfect length album. And yeah, but 51, it's a little bit over the traditional 45, like an LP, but I still think that's part of what makes it so enjoyable is it's 9 songs.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and you know, when we first talked about it, it was like so alien. Like, we would have a meeting in the band and everybody was sort of like, that seems weird. Like, are we shortchanging people? Like, why 9 songs? You know, like, we're just so used to being so, like, everything's so symmetrical, you know, 10 songs, you know, or, you know, 10 songs and 2 bonus tracks, you know. And, but it was like, you know what, look at the whole picture, you know, it's 9 songs, but it's, the total running length is 51 minutes. It's not like anybody's getting shortchanged,
right?
Anything. In fact, yeah, I mean, it's borderline too long. But what are you going to do? I mean, we wanted to write the kind of music we're writing, and we wanted to challenge ourselves and with some of the arrangements. And as a result, some of the songs are long. By our standards, they're long. I think there's 3 songs that are over 6 minutes. Six, seven minutes, which for Armored Saint is a long song. That's like a Dream Theater song for us, you know?
Right.
A lot of, it's not as if all the songs are the same either. Like, there's a lot of variation even within the same song.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, it's like, I'd rather 9 quality songs than 15 songs with, like, a lot of filler. Like, I think that used to happen when the CDs were, like, 75 minutes and, oh, we got to fill it all up.
Oh, God, I hated that. I remember when and the Chili Peppers record, I think it was Blood, Sex, Sugar, Magic came out.
Yeah.
I think that album had like 16 or 17 songs on it or something.
It does, yeah.
And I mean, I was like, and you know, I'm an old school Peppers fan. I don't really, not a big recent one, but I said... Once I got to like track 11, I was like, I can't listen anymore. You know, I don't even think I ever got to the whole end of that record ever.
Yeah, program your CD player to start at the end to go backwards.
Exactly, that'd be the only way I would hear the end of the record.
Yeah.
So before we let you go, since I haven't had a chance to ask him myself, have you got any feedback from Bob Nalbandian and what he thinks about the new album?
That's a good question. You know, I know Bob very well.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking you.
I haven't personally talked to Bob since he's gotten it, but I know he has it. And he's had done 2 interviews with John already. So I'm sure he's spoken with John at great length about it.
Yeah.
But I haven't actually done that yet.
Boy, see, he used you for his film. Right. And then, but then he doesn't use, you know, ask you about your own album. I'm going to have to give him crap about this. He's a little bit one sided.
Yeah, let's do it. Bust his balls.
And you know what he's going to be? Well, you know, I've been really busy with the film and you know how I've been editing and blah, blah. You know what the Bob story is going to be.
That's funny. I can tell you know Bob Nalbandian.
Oh, yeah. 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 We go back a couple of years. Yeah, not like Bob. You guys, but yeah.
Cool.
Bless him. Yeah. Well, it's been great to be able to talk to you about it. I you know, as soon as Richie said, yeah, we're gonna get to talk to Joey about the album, absolutely psyched. Been a longtime fan, and you know, continue to be so with the great releases like Win Hands Down, and I hope we got a few more of those in the tank as well.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you very much for the conversation.
No problem.
And thanks for having me, and I look forward to visiting you again.
Awesome. Okay. Thanks, right. Joey.
Thanks, Joey.
Have a good one.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
All right. There you go. Little Joey Vera conversation. So nice. Nice job there, Richie, getting that set up.
Yeah, no problem.
Hey, Metalheads. Just want to throw in a quick disclaimer here before we get the angry emails. I know that we didn't play any samples off of the brand new Armored Saint album except for the live clip that I snuck in there, and that's just because our arrangement with Metal Blade is that they provide us with pre-release and all that good stuff, but they don't want us playing any samples of the stuff on the show, and we have to respect that. However, you did hear a little bit of Win Hands Down played live. You can tell if it sounds that good live, it's going to sound awesome on that CD, so definitely go out and buy yourself a copy of Win Hands Down. So that is a wrap for another week here on Focus on Metal. Any last words of philosophy from you? Or?
No, getting some really good feedback on Little Mountain.
Good.
Seems to be going over very well.
Yeah, we got a lot of good stuff to come.
Yeah, I like doing series like this because we can do them. There's not that many of them out there.
Yeah.
You know, you can do it in podcast world, I think, where you can, you know, bank a lot of stuff and then, you know, do multi-episodes on the one topic. Mm-hmm. I know the stories are different, but it's all about the one studio.
Yep.
And, yeah, it's great. I'm getting, you know, feedback on the Facebook page and getting some emails. You know, I think you're getting some tweets and stuff like that. And
yep.
It's all good. You know, some of the guys that have been on it, Mike Fraser's hitting me back saying, he thought the first two were fantastic, and which is, you know, great yeah. to hear. And oh yeah, I might as well tell you, I think I have one more.
You told me last time that that was it. You were done.
No, we have. I think the drummer is only half an hour, isn't he? Yeah.
I don't think so.
Oh, is he
we
more
can
than
check.
That?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, I got someone.
Okay.
I was done two albums there.
All right.
And you know, if it happens, it happens. If it does, you know, if it doesn't, it doesn't. It's not the end of the world. It's not as if we don't have enough audio. But
yeah. Okay.
You know, I thought after Mike Plotney cough when he'd only 35 minutes with Roger,
mm-hmm.
I was thinking to myself, well, maybe the drummer, we've only got about half an hour. I might have to do the same thing.
So. No, he's a talker.
Oh well, I know that. He was the first one we did, and he was brilliant.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just hit you with that there.
Great. All right. Well, you know, more audio. Whatever.
Yeah.
It's my life. Mm-hmm. All right. So, like I said, that'll do it for this week. Of course, you can keep up with us at focusonmetal.net, focusonmetal.blogspot.com. Obviously, you can hit Richie up on Facebook, and also keep up with us on Twitter. So with that, have yourselves a good metal week. And until you hear from us again, remember,
focus on metal.
Everything else is insignificant.
Still here? It's over. Go home.